Welcome back to the Border Patrol Live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. We're just a couple of days away from the big NFL opener here in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Falcons. And we're very happy to have on both GMs of the two respective teams. We have Scott Pioli from the Kansas City Chiefs and Thomas Dimitroff of the Atlanta Falcons. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thomas, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I appreciate you guys allowing me to join you guys out there in the beautiful city of Kansas City.
Well, we appreciate having you on. And you guys go a ways back, all the way back to the Cleveland Browns organization. And I know, Scott, that you had a very a good, close relationship with Thomas's father. So if you would, for people that don't know, can you take us back to when you guys first met and how you became friends and working with the Cleveland Browns organization?
I was hired in 1992, and Thomas's dad, Tom Sr., was on the staff, and he was a regional scout at the time for the Browns. And correct me if I'm wrong, Thomas, you were in the World League at the time, or just as that was that version of the World League was folding. And Thomas moved back to the Strongsville area right around Cleveland, and Thomas and I were able to meet. Work together. Well, we kind of worked together, Thomas. We were going to the same address each day. You were lining fields, and I was making coffee, I think, right?
You were pushing a lot of papers, making coffee, and very fastidious at that time like you are today. And I think that's why we got along as well as we did, because I think we both knew how competitive we both were and serious about, you know, having a career in football. And Scott and I shared a lot of conversations about football and life. It was great.
Did you guys ever daydream back then, like, hey, you know, you and I both are going to be running our own NFL franchise at some point someday, and we're going to come up against one another?
I'll speak for myself. I didn't have a clue that was going to happen. I was just hoping to get through each day. I mean, it was. I don't think it at that point in time when, you know, again, for myself personally, when you're starting and you're working, you're just worried about getting through the day and making sure you're doing your job all right. I was never much of a big picture dreamer like that.
You know, I think that's why, you know, a guy like Bill Belichick, you know, valued Scott's approach so much. He wasn't into entitlement. People still isn't today. And Scott, you could wax poetic about that. I know personally, I mean, we both were driven to be as successful as we could be, but there was something about being around that organization you're in a situation where you were just trying to do your job to the best of your ability and don't go outside the lines because there would be hell to be paid. So we're focused on our world.
Yeah, well, I'd say that. What was interesting, too, is, Thomas, we both completely bought into that philosophy. And like you say, I think the respect that Bill had for you and your dad and was the fact that we were raised very similarly. And those values and those beliefs were – you know, instilled in us as human beings, and it was the same kind of thing that Bill was, look at, here's the pile of work, guys, go to work, do your job, put your head down, keep your mouth shut, and, you know, you do your job, people will notice it, and don't look for any credit, and I think that's how Thomas was raised, and it's how I was raised, that's for sure.
What I would suggest now with our respective organizations, it's a main point when we bring people in, or as we're building our team, whether it's players, management, coaches, it's about non-entitlement. We have very little patience for people who are entitled, and I think that's all three organizations, something I'm very proud of.
Yeah, I was reading an article about your friendship from a couple of years ago, and you got, as you mentioned, very similar backgrounds, but you have a lot of differences. And, Scott, you had brought up that you relieve stress in different ways. You would go to the weight room and lift. And Thomas would cycle hundreds of miles per week. And Thomas, I read a quote from you. I want to see, I don't know if Scott ever read this, but I'd like to get Scott's reaction. He said,
uh-oh.
Yeah, he's the barrel-chested Northeastern guy, and I'm the wiry dude with the big hair. Is that a good description, Scott?
Well, he left that. He's with the big hair. I'm with the no hair. That's
yeah.
That's right on the dial. I mean, Scott, I don't think we can say much more, right?
Wow, I didn't read that one, Thomas. I appreciate that. And Thomas is from the north northeast.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, you're from
really.
Well, you're from Canada, right? Like originally, did you grow up watching more Canadian football than NFL football as a kid?
Yeah, I want to make sure. I'm very proud of my
friends. Keep going with this line of questioning, guys.
I am not Canadian, actually. I'm American. I just spent a number of years up there and did a lot of my formative growing up there. No question about it. I've watched a little bit of the Montreal Canadiens and probably had a couple Labatt's Blues here and there. But everything is very American now, and luckily we're down here doing what we're doing in this league. And again, Scott and I cross paths a lot, whether it's on the phone talking about football or talking about Scott's favorite hockey team.
Actually, Thomas, it was really happy that this interview was being done now and doesn't interfere with the preseason, the NHL preseason right now.
How often do you guys get a chance to talk, say, during the football season?
Don't tell them how, you know, if you heard how much, actually, you probably, too much. Too much.
Well, how about in leading up to this game, like say this week, obviously you're on the phone with us right now, but how will Sunday be? Will you guys get together at all before the game, or will you just keep that at bay until after the game, whoever wins?
Go ahead,
Thomas.
We've had our discussions this week, and again, as competitive as we both are, we both understand that there are a number of things to talk about before going into a game, and we're hoping to get together and spend a little bit of time, talking about, football in general and life. I want to have an opportunity to see Scott's great family, and we're, very close that way. So I'm hoping to, stop by and say hello. And on the game field on Sunday, obviously, we'll be turning the corner as far as our focus, no question about it.
What's all this hockey talk, by the way? Maybe I've just missed out on the story, but do you guys each have different NHL teams that are rivals or something like that?
Well, Scott's a Rangers fan, and quite honestly, we're not. We never talk hockey at all, but Scott is always talking to me about my Canadian background, so I just thought I'd beat him to the punch.
It's an ongoing joke, and I love to hit Thomas up with his with hockey jokes and anything Canadian-related, because he wants to make sure that everyone understands that he was born and mostly raised in the United States, but it's an easy point to pick on Thomas with. It really is.
We're joined by Scott Pioli and Thomas Dimitroff, and while we've got you on, I wanted to ask you guys each a question about your two teams, and Thomas, I'll start with you. We've got a lot of Missouri fans that are listening to the show, and you've got two members of your defense you drafted out of the University of Missouri. I'd just like to get your thoughts on those two guys, Sean Weatherspoon and William Moore, what you saw in them that led you to draft those guys and how they've developed so far in their time in your organization.
Yeah, I really believe Missouri should be proud. I mean, these are two competitive guys. I mean, really ultimately competitive, fiery individuals. And Sean Weatherspoon's taking it to another level for us. We love his approach to the game. He's very, very passionate. He flies around the field, and he's taken on a real leadership role that is going to be very good for us, as a younger guy, as a third-year player. Willie Moe, I mean, he comes to play. He's very, very physical like Weatherspoon is, and these guys are both a real presence on the field, we're fortunate to have them.
Okay, I'm full disclosure here, Thomas. I'm a Kansas Jayhawk, so I just have to ask you, how could you cut my guy, Kerry Meyer?
We didn't cut him. He's on IR.
Okay.
Hey, no tough questions for my buddy. Don't beat him up. Remember, we're going to be nice to him up until about noon on Sunday.
Gotcha. Yeah. My fault.
Scott, for you, we had a conversation just an hour before training camp started about the improved depth and how you felt about the 53-man roster. Now that training camp is over and here you are just a couple of days away from the regular season, how do you feel about that roster from top to bottom going through training camp? Do you still feel the same way? Do you still feel as good about this depth as you have in your time in Kansas City?
Yeah, I do. I'm still encouraged. I really am. I know there's a lot of games. I mean, come right out of the gate, we've got some really tough competition, and with Thomas's team in Atlanta, but the next several weeks are going to be really tough. But I do feel that we've got a good football team and a well-coached football team. And we've shown at different times that we are that. And unfortunately, I don't know if it's due to our lack of experience and age, but we've shown signs of not playing up to our ability. So it'll be very interesting to see how this team does coming right out of the gate.
And one player I did want to ask you about that the cities have shared, Tony Gonzalez, who is going to be a Hall of Famer. He did so many great things in Kansas City and continues to be a productive player in Atlanta. First, Thomas, how has he affected the franchise, and what has he meant to the Falcons since you acquired him from Kansas City?
Well, as we all know, I mean, Tony is, in no question of anyone in this conversation, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he's been a special addition for us, and it was the right addition for us at the time. It was a good trade on both sides. It was valuable for both organizations, and that's ultimately what you want in this league, to make sure that you can, you know, get a deal that is right for both teams. You never want to take, you know, anyone to the cleaners on any sort of a deal, and we feel like it's been very beneficial for both teams. For us here, I mean, Tony has been, you know, he's been the quiet leader that he is. You know, he's not the stomp around leader, but he's out there working hard all the time. And he's been good for Matt Ryan's transition and evolution as a quarterback in this league. And, you know, Tony is in a healthy state right now, and I know that he's looking forward to coming back to the fans that he says are the greatest fans in the world. So I know that he's excited about coming back to your stadium.
And Scott, what was that process like? I'm sure there was many teams that wanted to get their hands on a tight end like Tony Gonzalez, and here you are having to deal with a good friend of yours. And like Thomas said, finding the right deal that's beneficial for both sides. What was that process like, having to trade Tony Gonzalez and ultimately sending him to the Falcons?
Yeah, first, out of the gate, it was tough because, you know, even though I hadn't been with Tony here, I had so much respect for him as a player and knew a little bit about him as a person from the outside. And you don't necessarily know until you're actually, you know, living with someone. But I had so much respect for him as a player and knew that he was a good player that still had, you know, more time left on his clock to continue to be a good player. And, you know, Thomas, it just so happened he and I had talked, and he was interested in that. He felt that they had a need at tight end. Tony had made it clear in a very professional, respectful way that he didn't demand his way out. He made more of a request that if we would ever consider it, you know, he would love for us to consider moving him. And when we had that conversation, I made it clear to Tony and that, you know, there were a couple of things that were important to us, that if we did it, we wanted to make sure that we got a fair trade or close to fair value for him. And the other thing that was really important, as he and I talked, was the fact that, you know, we hope that when he does retire, whenever that time is, that he does retire as a Kansas City Chief. And we had those conversations, and then Thomas and I talked, and what I really felt good about is because it was a player that I respected so much, and I knew that the club wanted to treat right. I knew that he was going to a place where there was a, you know, one of Tony's biggest concerns about, again, in requesting that, was the fact that he didn't want to be in a rebuilding state again, or what he thought might be a rebuilding state. Thomas had done a great job of truthfully overhauling the entire infrastructure of that organization, and Tony was going to be walking into a place with a good quarterback, a good support staff, and truthfully a tremendous culture, and Tony would have been able to catch that full stride. So I felt everyone was winning. I mean, I felt Tony was going to win, the Chiefs were going to win, the Falcons were going to win, and because, you know, not along with Thomas, I have great respect for Arthur Blank and a number of the other people in that organization. Smitty is a heck of a coach. I just felt like this was one of those trades where everybody was going to win, as much as it you know, disappointed me personally that I wasn't going to get to spend time with Tony.
Gentlemen, we appreciate your time. I know that you guys have got to run and continue your busy schedules, but I will say this. Thank you for the new name for our morning show. Scott, you've seen us. Thomas, you have it. Barrel chest and the big hair fits for us as well. And we're gonna start that on Monday as soon as we get the promos in on this weekend. So, hey, this interview's really worked for us in a number of ways, guys. So thank you.
That's beautiful.
Hey, Thomas, thank you for the time. Scott, thank you for the time. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate it.
All right, that is Scott Pioli and Thomas Dimitroff, the general managers of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Falcons. They will meet on Sunday, noon at Arrowhead Stadium. Back after this on WHB.